Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Three Questions. I'm Andy Richter. I'm the host of this thing. Today, I'm talking to Craig Robinson. Craig is an actor, comedian, and musician. You can see Craig in season two of his show, Killing It, on Peacock, which is very, very funny. Here's my conversation with Craig Robinson. What are you drinking?
Bone broth.
Bone broth? That sounds dirty. I hope it's not your own.
It's a little concoction I made. No, it's never mind. It's it's supposed to be so healthy for you. Did you know that?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard about it. But do you drink it like just as like sort of like a supplemental thing, or is it a meal just replacement or something?
That was like just, I'm here at the studio and they were like, yeah, Goop has good bone broth. So I said, okay, I'll get some of this bone broth from Goop Kitchen.
Is there a Goop Kitchen there?
Yeah, down the street apparently. I never heard of it.
Wow. I wonder if Gwyneth Paltrow is behind the counter.
I wondered that too.
That would be something.
Hey, Gwyneth.
Hi, Gwyneth.
Shout out.
Yeah. I came to get my vagina steamed. Well, Craig, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time, you know.
You too, buddy.
Yeah,
how's everything?
Yeah. Everything's pretty good. Yeah, just, you know, getting ready for the holidays. I got remarried.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I adopted my stepdaughter, so I got a 3.5-year-old now. Thank
wow.
you. Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah. I got a 22, 18, and 3.5.
Everything's coming up, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Now, if only I could make some money.
Oh, if you only, got this, bro.
If only showbiz didn't think I was retired.
Dude, you always create lightning in a bottle. Like,
oh, well, thank you.
Andy controls the universe, and it's always like, God, you know, laugh out loud, funny, weird.
Oh, thank you.
Stuff.
Thank you. Well, you've had a really good career in terms of like being in good stuff. You know what I mean? Like, do you feel like there's much that you've been in that you're like not crazy about? You know what I mean?
I have been in some good stuff. I got to say, I've been blessed like that. And just thinking about some of the stuff I was in the other day, and just like some cool, weird projects.
Yeah.
Some cool indie stuff that people have never seen or heard of. still, you know.
No, it's good. It does at least kind of, I mean, because there's, you know, there can be a lot of bullshit in show business. But at least if you're like having fun. I mean, we were just talking a little bit before we started recording about you and Killing It. The show that you do on Peacock, which is come back for second season, and now you can talk about it. That's why we're here, because the strike is over.
Correctamundo.
But you know, you were saying like it's just fun. It's just a fun show, and it everything that I saw in prepared for this, because I hadn't seen it yet. It looks like a hilarious fun show. It looks crazy, And it is, it makes such a difference when doing some dumb shit that you're embarrassed to tell your friends you're on, you know?
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of those kind of experiences, thank God. You know, from the Office to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but not, and not a Killing It, but just like it's, you know, everybody comes, it's like everybody's, you know, coming with their A game, and we're corroborative. Uh-huh. We'll like, you know, rehearse on Zoom if I call a rehearsal or something. It's really dope.
Oh, nice. Well, let's go back to your beginnings. Chicago, Illinois. Are you from the city proper, or are you from outside the city?
South side of Chicago.
South side of Chicago. Yes, sir. Family there for a long time?
Yeah. My father's family's from Chicago. My mother's born in Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
But we all came up through Chicago.
Do you still have a lot of people back there, a lot of family?
Yeah. I got a lot of family. That's where most of the family is.
Yeah.
When we do a family reunion, we do our family reunions. We were doing them every year up until like the pandemic. But when we go somewhere different every year, it's really cool. Usually you might get 40, maybe 60 people.
Wow.
It's nice, you know. But Chicago's like 200 or something like that.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody comes out.
That is such a nice thing, because I don't experience that with my family. Just kind of all keeps to themselves, you know.
Really?
And my wife's family, she's from a big Mexican-American family that's, you know, tons of cousins, and there are big reunions, but they do kind of like end up sort of going into a group of cousins will sort of, you know, connect, and then
their
they'll
own
be,
cliques.
Yeah, they'll be their own Christmas group, you know, because there's just so many people. Is it kind of like that with you guys?
We all mingle. And then of course, you know, I think it's natural for people to kind of cluster up
sure.
to their own stuff. But
right.
We definitely, you know, everybody makes sure they, you know, mingle with everybody at some point.
Yeah.
It's really nice, man. We have a great time. You know, we're playing cards. We have a talent show. We have a white party. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, where you beat up a random white dude. It's crazy.
I know. That's what Andy Warhol's white party was all about. And it was easy for them to find a random white dude, too.
That's not true, everybody, by the way. I don't do that.
He means clothes.
Terrible joke.
Everyone wears white clothes.
Everyone wears white.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I hope the food is not stainable, because, yeah, going to a white party, I within 3 minutes, I'd have barbecue sauce
on myself.
I'm the worst.
Yeah. I got to wear a blanket.
Yes, me too. I'm no longer embarrassed. You know, I don't care. My older kids get embarrassed, but I'll just tuck a napkin in. I don't give a shit. It's like if I'm going to eat soup
Bro,
or something.
I don't see what it's. If you look at any Three Stooges episode where they had food, they had the napkin out there.
I don't know if they're style icons necessarily, but no, I mean, even like, you know, like my daughter said, like, it's just a bib. I'm like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Yeah. It's a bib. I don't. Yeah. That's it. It's functional. Yes. Yes. And then I can eat without having to like fully concentrate on every single spoonful. It's, you know.
Cause eventually something's going to spill.
Yeah.
You're going to get some rice or some beans or some meat or something on your shirt.
That's right. And there's a playing field below my chin, too, that, like, there's some real estate down there that will collect anything that gets lost. So
me, too. I bet we both shop at DXL.
I have.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, now, going back to, did you have a... because you were first and foremost, and I don't know if you still think of yourself, you know, first and foremost as a musician. Like, music was kind of where you started out.
In terms of, you know, I got a degree in music, and music is always with me. Yes, I use music in my act, my stand up, and then I have a band, and so, absolutely, the music is always there, man.
Were there musicians in your household? Like, you know?
Oh yeah, everybody played. We had piano upstairs, piano downstairs, organ. We had drums in the house, different horn instruments. It was you were touching some kind of instrument coming out of that house.
Yeah. And was it like? Did it just end up being kind of a natural thing, or, you know, like, did somebody have to force you to practice?
There was some practice forcing, but I was also a natural. So we went to lessons, and we had to, learn our stuff. And then I was, figuring out other stuff on my own, songs out on the radio and what have you. So, and then playing in church and stuff like that.
Yeah. I envy that so much because I'm just not good. I mean, I like music and I'm an okay singer, but whenever I tried cornet and in grade school, and then I tried to take guitar lessons, and I think I just don't have the knack for it, and then I don't have the patience.
I would love to strum a guitar. I can pick and play one finger at a time, but just trying to do a chord. I'm the same. I would smash a guitar down.
I quit. Well, now, do you have a lot of siblings?
Older sister, younger brother. They have a half brother and sister who are older than us.
Okay. And I mean, did you guys play music together? Like, as a group?
Yeah. Me and my brother and sister who I grew up with. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
And my brother is my band brother, today.
Yeah. He's in your band today. I forgot about that. Yeah. Mm.
Chris Robb. Shut up.
Chris Robinson. Also from the Black Crowes. He had a different look. Yeah. In the Black Crowes, but he's really got a lot of breadth.
He does a lot. We've always been proud of him.
That's right. Was it a funny family too? I mean,
yeah. My mother was very funny. My father's funny. He's more of a ham type, but he's also an attorney. So he's the iron fist kind of dude too.
Oh,
but and my sister, everybody's funny in the family.
Yeah. Having an attorney dad, does he let you argue your case, or is it just do as I say?
Do as I say, but he would also let you hang yourself. he's sitting there cross examining you, and it was too easy for him. So you learn not to lie or lie real good.
Right. Yeah, you got to get it bulletproof first. Yeah. As a kid, what did you think you were going to end up doing? I mean, was it pretty much music all the time? Were you in plays? Was there sports going on?
Well, in high school, I played a little basketball, a little organized basketball. I was on the team. I made it twice, sophomore year and senior year.
Nice.
I wasn't very good. On a playground,
what happened junior year?
Leap. I just didn't make the team freshman.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I wanted it so bad, but I couldn't, I was a big body and I could leap.
Yeah.
Good for rebounds, blocking shots and stuff. But I didn't have that killer, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly because that's what ended my football career, was just like, I can't get into this Lord of the Flies shit, kill him. It's like, no, this is just a game, guys. Take it easy.
Just out there. I was just having fun. Having the time of my life. But, I made a bucket,
Yeah.
So much fun. I did one day, though, and it was senior day in high school. And I got subbed in, and it was just before half. And one of our guys shot a free throw. I got the rebound. Clocks winded down. I hit a buzzer beater.
And
I walked off the court like,
yeah.
Oh, man. That was not a feeling like that.
Yeah. Were you theatrical at all? Did you play in plays or anything?
Yeah. We did plays at church. We did. I didn't really do school. I got to college. I think I did a couple of musical scenes and stuff. But let me see. Was that?
Illinois State?
It was mostly church plays.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I would hear people on The Office talk about all the plays and stuff they were in. And I was like, I did a production of The Wiz at church one time. I'm thankful for that experience though, man.
Yeah. Well, were they religious plays or were they just?
No, The Wiz is The Wiz,
Right, so, right. So that's what I'm saying.
So we did that. And I think we did one religious play where one was like the Christmas. Some kind of Christmas play where I was one of the wise men or something. I don't remember.
Jesus story.
Yeah.
When you start heading towards wanting to do music for a living, is anybody worried that you're not going to, although I guess, you know, your mom was a music teacher, so.
Oh, well.
Did you think you were going to be a music teacher? Did,
In college, I thought I was going to be a musician, like, you know, singer. And,
yeah.
And I bought a keyboard and it was all that. And then all of a sudden, I tell you, comedy just swooped in. Like, no, you're coming this way.
Yeah.
And I was so silly all the time. And people would like come back to me and say, oh, I was trying to tell somebody what you were saying the other day. So it was like I was doing these bits, but I know they were bits. I was being stupid.
Yeah.
And I mean, people are like, man, you play too much all the time. Always something, always silly. Didn't take anything serious until I got bit with the comedy bug. And then I start getting serious about comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is during college?
This is during college, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened was, like, I always saw comedians as some kind of, hero, godlike figure. Like, it just didn't dawn on me that I could do that until I was, I went to, like, a homecoming show, and a buddy of mine was doing comedy. And then another dude was doing comedy who I knew, and they were doing stand-up. And this, I was like, I could touch this person. Are real people do this?
Yeah, yeah.
That was all she wrote.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Can't you tell my love's a crow?
For me, that was what improv was like. I had friends doing improv and went to see shows. I'm like, oh, you know, look, you know, it is. Yeah, humans can do that.
I can quip.
Yeah. And I also think, too, people, you know, there's a lot of like, don't compare yourself to other people. But I feel like if you think, and it doesn't even have, you know, there's like the kind of more nasty version of it. Like, oh, if that fucking guy can do it, then I can do it. And then there's the nice version of like, oh, look at that. That person can do it. I can do it too. You know?
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Once I was into it, and I didn't know I was going to be, I thought, wow, it'd be awesome to be a comedian even. And I bought, you know, I was figuring out how would you do it? But there's no, you know, 1, 2, 3, and now you're a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching, like, I think back then it was called MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would show these comics, and they'd be showing them, like, for 3 minutes or 4 minutes. And some of them, you know, now I realize they were just catching them in the middle of their set. I don't know. But some of them, you know, were just like, wow, that wasn't too thrilling. And like you said, you know, well, I could do that. You know, so But then, you know, if I were to go back and say, I would say, okay, this was a moment they were doing this, or they would just, you know, have a theme for the show. Groceries, it might be grocery shopping there, and everybody's doing their stuff on groceries, and some are great, some are, wasn't. But it was definitely something there to go, to compare yourself. Like you said, yeah, and go, I can at least do that.
Yeah.
I can stand there and talk and make no one laugh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At that age, I mean, when you were starting out and you were figuring it out, were there people that, like, you were kind of aiming towards, like, that you were trying to emulate, or, you know, heroes at the time that you saw?
I loved a slew of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your Richard Pryor, your Bill Cosby, your Eddie Murphy. You got your Steve Martin, your Martin Mull. You got,
yeah,
you know, it was all these different Richard, Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Paul Mooney. So mm-hmm. it was like one person would give you, like Paul Mooney gave me this strength and like this, he was so badass. And,
yeah.
And he, you know, it was like his way or the highway. Kind of,
right,
was,
right. And then, no, he's like planted like a tree, you know, like he's not going to be moved by anybody.
And, yeah. You can walk out all on the show. And then,
yeah.
And then later on, I ended up opening up for him. You know what I'm saying? So it was like,
uh-huh.
You got like a Stephen Wright or somebody who's just all, you know, one-liners after yeah. another, cerebro, and you make you sit and think. Then you got Richard Pryor, who's, you know, the all the way up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's, you know, acting out stuff and becoming these characters. It was so many people did so many different things, and I feel like I just steal a little bit from all of them.
Were you ever intimidated by the notion of getting to do this for a living? And if so, like, what did you do to deal with it, to keep going?
I think it was, yes, of course. And I think, you know, my naivete
yeah.
allowed me to go yeah. through, to gave me the gumption to think I could do this. Like,
yeah.
Because you got to have, you know, that belief. You have to have a vision for yourself. I think I remember I was on a treadmill one time. This is when I had moved to LA and I was, you know, trying to figure this out and stuff. And I was just working on a treadmill and I was watching TV as I was doing it. And in my apartment complex and I just stopped and I said, what are you doing? You're trying to fit in that box. What are you doing? It was this crazy thought, almost panic. And then I was just like, yep. I sure
yeah.
am.
Yeah.
And I hopped back on the treadmill.
Yeah,
and I
yeah,
kept
yeah.
on working it out, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there wasn't a backup plan. It kind of was because I was a school teacher and I figured I could go back to teaching, but I don't think I ever thought I could always go back to teaching.
Right.
So I was out of there.
Yeah, no, I felt too when I first came to LA. And I, you know, I mean, I was with a show that traveled from Chicago, but. And so I was making some money being a performer, but I felt like there's so many people here. It's like, you know, if you go to, I don't know, it's like if you go to, I mean, not necessarily now, but, you know, like when the auto industry was thriving, it's like if you moved to Detroit and said, I'm going to make cars, it wasn't crazy, you know? And so it's like to come out here and say, I'm going to make some kind of living in mm-hmm. television or movies or entertainment in some way. It's not like, it's like, yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, not everybody's Tom Cruise, you know, there's plenty of right. people, you know, pulling cable or making a good living, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What brought you from, because you were in, you went to master, you got your master's degree in music. Was that right? Did you go right after you were done with undergrad?
I taught for 3.5 years. I taught
kindergarten
through 8th grade music.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was.
Did you like? I mean, do you like? Are you good with kids? I mean, were you?
I'm good with kids, and I was okay teacher. You know, I was a fun teacher. I was a music teacher, so I would take the kids I had a little choir, and I took after my mother because she was a choir director for our high school.
Uh-huh.
So I would take kids out on like around Christmas time, we go to, you know, senior citizens' homes, we go to the museum, we go to the Navy Pier and be a part of this thing.
Caroling
and doing the thing. It was awesome, man. And had little shows in the spring, like little music shows. I think one was like old school versus new school. And so one girl do Aretha Franklin, and at that time, like I had like a group doing Drew Hill and stuff. You know, it was real cool, man.
While you were doing it, did you always feel like it was a holding play, you know, like it was just a resting point before you really started to turn it on?
At that point, yes. Cause I was like, I was going hitting the clubs at night.
Yeah.
So I would work all day and then at night go do comedy. And I also was a bouncer at some point, but not like the, you know, I was the guy who went to get the bigger guys if something was going down.
Right, right. Help. Yeah.
Right.
The middleman bouncer. What you gonna do, bouncer?
I'll be right back.
I'm going to get my big brother bouncer. Well, you went back to music school. You're still doing comedy, but you went back to grad school. Why?
I went to grad school right after college.
Oh, you went to grad school right after college.
I
went to grad school,
then, yeah, I got my degree.
Okay, and okay. Then, I thought you said you taught in between.
I'm
okay.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I went to grad school right after college.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And that.
Yes, right after college. And I'm sorry. Here's what happened. So I went to grad school.
I'm starting to think this is all bullshit. I'm starting to think that this, every piece of information on I have on you is a lie.
Okay. Okay, so I graduated.
From Illinois State in Normal, Illinois.
I got a job teaching in Indiana, and I did that for a year. And then.
What town in Indiana? I'm just curious because I'm from there.
It was, I did Whiting. Uh-huh. And then I also went over to, where's Eggers? Eggers Elementary. So it's Franklin Elementary and Eggers.
It's all right over the Illinois line.
Yeah, exactly. Whiting is right there. And then you drive, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or whatever it was, to Eggers. I can't think of where Eggers is. Somebody hit us in the chat.
Hammond, Indiana.
Hammond, Indiana. Well done. Yeah. All right. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, so, Hammond Eggers.
Hammond.
That's how you remember it. Hammond Eggers.
Why is that the first time I've ever heard? Why?
That's
the beauty of comedy and genius, the simplicity. Okay, so I taught a year in India. Yeah. And then Chicago was doing this thing called Teachers for Chicago. They wanted you to become a teacher. So they paid you. To get your master's, meaning
you go
learn and while you're getting your master's, you're working for the city and teaching. So it was that's how I ended up.
It's a good way to good
teaching in
Chicago. Yeah. And how long after you got out of grad school? Well, you said a couple of years. You taught a couple of years.
After grad school, it was almost over. Let me see. I taught a total of 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So 1 year in Indiana and then 2.5 more years. Yeah, so as soon as I got my degree, I was out.
Yeah. Then you just, and is that, you got your degree and you were like, I'm off to California?
No. Well, what happened was I went to Montreal.
Oh, for laughs?
Montreal, did New Faces, and then came to L.A.,
That's a comedy festival for people that don't know. Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It used to be a big thing where they would find new talent, new faces, as they say.
They still do that. Yeah. They still find people.
I think so. I don't think it's the same as it was.
It's still prestigious and wonderful.
Yeah.
To be a part.
Well, because I think the internet makes it so that it's not as important to have a place like that, you know?
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah.
Good point. So I got some heat coming out of Montreal. End up doing 2 weeks of meetings in L.A.
Wow.
Man, you're talking about the stress of a young man, like trying to wonder, do they like me? No.
These
no's all the way.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But turned out and got a deal with, remember Green Alari?
Mm-mm.
Green Bad Gentilari? They had it. So I ended up doing a deal, like a holding deal with them. They never went anywhere, but it afforded me to move to LA.
Oh, nice.
And so that was nice.
Yeah, I never hear of anybody getting those anymore. They used to just pay you to maybe eventually put you in something.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, no, I caught the tail end, baby.
Yeah, no, there was a time where if you wrote on Frasier for 10 minutes, you could get $1 million for sitting on your fucking hands, for a year and a half.
Or if Johnny called you over to the couch.
Yes.
That kind of stuff, man.
I hate that shit. I hate that, like, you know, you get the blessings of the, all that sort of like, you know, oh yes, sir. Wait, you know, all that, like waiting to get the blessing of, and then fill in the blank, whether it's like teacher, coach, you know, boss, whatever. It's like, yeah, I hate that shit. It's like, you know, Johnny, how dare he? You know, everybody should have sat down instead of like, oh, I'm going to have that shit. You know, Howard Stern talks about that all the time. And it's like always something that has always annoyed me. The notion that like just somebody assuming that much power. It's like, do you ever watch The Great British Bake Off? You ever seen that show?
I have not. No.
Okay. Well, there's like a, it's like they, all these people, they, it's a baking competition.
Yeah.
And there's like one guy, if you do really well, he shakes your hand.
Oh.
And they all like get all like, oh my God, he shook my hand. And I'm just like, fuck that. Fuck that guy for putting so much importance on shaking people's hands.
Oh, it's kind of like Simon saying, not insulting you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Simon Cowell.
People. Yeah. No, exactly. Like if Simon Cowell says something nice to you, then it's like, oh, well, I'm not a piece of shit.
You must have talent.
Yeah.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Can't you tell my love's a crow?
When you got out here, was it intimidating? Was it just, were you just excited? Did you know anybody? First of all, did you come out here alone? Or?
I came out here alone. I knew a couple of people.
Yeah.
The first about, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, I was hitting the road a lot. And then when I finally sat down, my TV wasn't like, I didn't have cable. I wanted to watch the NCAA game or something, but I was like, oh, this, I have to leave the house. The apartment, it was always intimidating, you know, but I was eager to navigate and figure it out. I felt like I had something to offer.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's do it. And my manager, I was with him before I moved to LA.
Oh, wow.
So I met him. I was doing the Bay Area Black Comedy Festival. And I ended up winning that.
Oh, okay, wow. So,
and 3 Arts was down there, and they met with all the comedians in the finals. It was 6 of us. And then they ended up signing me after I won. So, and he's my manager to this day, Mark Schulman.
Wow.
You know, so he's like my brother now.
But that's great. Yeah, so, I was going to ask you, did you have like a champion? Did you have somebody really kind of?
Yes,
in
sir.
Your corner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If it weren't for Mark, I wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's nice. Yeah. Was Jerry Minor one of the people that you know or that you knew when you were out here? Did you know him from Chicago? He's from Detroit, I think.
I knew Brandon from Chicago. I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm not sure when I met Jerry. That's, wow, what a great question. I don't know if I met Jerry. I think I did meet Jerry in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because he had to come through there. I'm not sure. All I know is that Jerry said to me, he said, I'm going to make you famous. And then we did this song.
Yeah, somebody's fucking my lady.
And we did it 4 places.
Yeah.
Couldn't get enough of it.
That's the first time I ever saw you was on that. And I just before, you know, we started recording this, I was talking to somebody about it and remembering. And it's such a funny, funny bit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We sat and wrote that together. It was his concept. Cause it was, he got, he like the R. Kelly had a video,
Yeah.
With Mr. Big and who was played by Ron Isley. So it was this concept of you know, somebody's boning my lady.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it turns out, you know, well, for those who haven't seen it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. Look it up. It's funny. No, it's funny. It's a good bit.
No. I'm going to say one more. No, I love the bit. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's just I didn't want to give it away.
Right, somebody right. Exactly. Exactly.
It's called Somebody's Fucking My Lady.
Yeah. Guess who it is? That's the... Don't think about who it is. Just go watch it. What was kind of some of your first acting roles while you were out here? And were you going on auditions and getting turned down a ton? And how do you deal with that?
Bro, I went to an audition and the lady pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, learn what you're doing. You have some big people behind you. Take this serious." So that's how bad my audition must have been. She's like,
"Wow,
you." But that was great advice. And while I was still in Chicago, though, I must have shown some signs of a promise, because I auditioned for a commercial auditioned for something, and the casting director said, "You don't have an agent," and she was like offended I didn't have an agent.
Yeah, she's yeah. Like,
and then she made a call, and then I got two commercial agents that day. So,
wow.
So that was cool. Yeah. And but then, you know, got to LA, I was taking acting classes in Second City in Chicago, then switched over to LA and was going to Ivana Chubbuck, and, you know, really learned about, like, character work and, like, fighting for, and each scene is a love scene, really, and or else why would you be there with each other? So, fighting for to make your points and make things valid. It was a journey.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But what was, you know, like when you started to actually make some money as an actor? Because you were making your money as a comedian and you were getting your holding deal. But when did you start actually getting some checks in that were for shows?
I guess it was the Office.
Was it Office?
Yeah, yeah. Once I made about, got to be a regular in the sixth season. I was like, okay, hello. I missed 7 out of 13, not anymore, baby. I'm all episodes produced.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a nice come up.
I bet. Yeah, no, that is, it makes a big difference. You know, you when you get paid by the episode, it makes a difference.
It does. And I was a, bro, I was in a show called Lucky. That was like my first thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple of things I got here and there, but Lucky was my first thing. Written by the Cullen brothers. Who were badass. Rob and Mark Cullen. And John Corbett was a star.
Yeah, the guy from Northern Exposure, right?
Sex in the City, Sex in the City. And he could not have been more on fire. Do you hear me? The man... And I've seen a couple of people in my life, I've seen this, where women swoon.
Yeah.
Like the definition of swoon, they would swoon over him. They loved this dude. And he couldn't have been cooler. And then Billy Gardell was my, we was his sidekicks. So it was, Billy was the best, bro.
Yeah. Like I know Billy. Yeah. And, he's been on here.
Super comic and just super cool and like, yeah, I was kind of under his wing and, you know, just figuring stuff out. We were having a blast on that show. And it was we did one season. It got all the best reviews. I mean, I still have some of the paper clipping and they were talking about how great it was. And then we went to, it was on FX. So you had The Shield was out and then we came out Lucky. Nip Tuck was next.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were invited to Nip Tuck premiere party. The head of the network looked me in the face about Lucky, looked at me and said, "You guys got nothing to worry about." And we had just done 13 episodes. I was like, oh. So
I'm buying a boat.
Right. Man, and then we were waiting to get picked up. And so my manager called, "Hey man. They're not, you know, they're letting the show go." And then Rob Cullen called, "Hey, man, And then Mark called, hey man, and then Billy called. I was like, okay, I got it. And, and when I tell you, I had spent all the money, all the money, because the first I didn't realize, first they were taking the taxes out, you know, and I didn't have anything set up. So it was like the check it dwindled out. And then once that thing mid-season, I had, you know, I fixed that up. And then, but still, it was all spent. It was crazy. So I was just kind of comatose, sitting, holding my chair, like,
what
am I do now?
No, shit, I have experience in doing, and I didn't even, I mean, I only had one show that I was on, I mean, aside from the Conan show, but like sitcom type show that went like a full 22 episodes. You know, everything else that I did was like mid-season, and, you know, like Andy Richter Controls the Universe was two mid-seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't commit. They wouldn't, because it was like, you know, all the fucking people at the, it, you get through, the, like Fox was amazing because it was this wall of like women with really good, the climb up was like, it was all women with really good taste that were doing the development, kind of running the network. And then you just hit this fucking wall of white men that just like wanted cars blowing up and titties, you know, and anything that was kind of funny or different, like they'd let stuff go, but then they wouldn't know what to do with it. And I experienced at least three times feeling within days, people telling me the exact same kind of thing. Don't worry, this thing is doing great. This is fantastic. We love it. And then literally 2 days later, it is not looking good. It's not, and it's like the same fucking person. And you know, it's like, what happened? What did I, you know, did bro, somebody find my prints on a murder weapon? What the fuck happened?
Man, I did a show, Mr. Robinson.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did two versions, right? We did a pilot that was a single camera, and that didn't go anywhere, but they wanted to keep the concept. We brought in the Cullens, and then we did six episodes.
Yeah.
And this is when I learned the term burn off, because they burn these episodes off.
Oh, yeah,
They play two a week for 3 weeks or something. No, I'm sorry. They play one for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
One a week for 6 weeks. And then they burned them off. They just played them because they had them. Da, da, da. And we did decent. This is also where I learned they didn't care about ratings, because we did decent with the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was, they got us out of there. But I'm part of the burn off show and everything else.
It would take me a second to remember exactly which one, but I do remember. One of the shows that I did, one of the mid-seasons, I think there was 8 or 9 episodes. And within like a month, you know, 6 weeks or whatever, 8 weeks, it was on 4 different time slots. You know,
that'll be easy to find.
Yeah. That'll cause repeat traffic, you know? And it's like, there's so much of it when you make TV. And I've said this a million times, the quality of what you do is like maybe 8th on the list of in terms of like whether it goes or not. Right. If it's really good. Everyone's all the grown-ups are like, well, what the fuck does that matter? You know, lots of stuff is really good, you know?
Yeah. But when we did the Mr. Robinson, a lady looked at me, she was like the script supervisor. She was like, you're going to retire off of this show. And again, you know, I let it geek. I was like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
And like, then, not coming back.
I had a sound guy. I think it was on the movie Cabin Boy, which was like my first big job, who this sound guy tell me, he said, because he had been the sound guy on Full Metal Jacket. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you should have done that part that D'Onofrio did. Like Vincent D'Onofrio in Full Metal Jacket, you know, the guy that goes nuts. He goes, oh my God, you would be. And I'm playing like an idiot in this. So I don't know why he thinks that like I would be capable of that. But he was like, and you know, and you hear that and it's like, yeah, I could be Vincent D'Onofrio. And now, you know, now I'm like, no, I couldn't. I can't be fucking Vincent D'Onofrio, you know? Well, when, what was it? I mean, The Office must have been to be in something that now, I mean, like I have a small part in the movie Elf. So like I have a part in a legitimate Christmas classic, you know, and you are in like a titan of television comedy. You know, you got to be in that and you'll always have that. I mean, were you aware of that while you were doing it? Did it feel like that?
Once we were in it, and I started to see like, cause we, you know, we went to some places, man. And like, you know, between the Emmys and whatever else, you know, I was in the warehouse, so I wasn't in all things produced. So I came along in the fourth episode of the first season, fifth and second season. I wasn't in it that much. Third season, in and out here and there. And then by the sixth season, I'm a regular. So I didn't get the full experience that all the other cast did, but the experience I did get, like when we went to Scranton, we were the Beatles, bro. It was unreal.
Wow.
We went twice. We went for like the one office convention, and then we went back when the show wrapped just to, you know, say, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
They threw us a parade, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I think I have two children there. But
no, if you had two children, you would know. You would know that you have two children.
But yeah, it was such an honor, you know, and they're all smart. The whole cast is smart.
Like, yeah.
You know, some of the conversations I would overhear, but okay. Yeah. Genius. And then they would be doing the fantasy football. So I never got into it. But, but it was awesome, man. And everybody's super sweet. And they, to this day, like, well, you know, they'll send out a group text, was, you know, if it's a Make-A-Wish thing situation or somebody, actually one of one of the guys, I think his name was Phil, man, rest in peace. He just died, and he was a light, man. This dude was amazing. Like he kept everybody happy. He was just one of those people.
Yeah,
and so so everybody's, you know, sending well wishes and where can we do this and that. So it's always a good-hearted cast.
Yeah, it's always a part of your day and, you know, of your life. Yeah, doing something like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. And that was the first time I went to like upfronts and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It was
the whole experience.
Man, I got the whole experience. Exactly right. It was something else, something to live through.
Yeah. You've done a lot of work with Seth Rogen, and how did that come about? How did you start?
I think the first thing I did with Seth was Knocked Up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Allison cast that. Allison.
And you're cast through regular casting channels for that?
Cast through regular casting channels, yes.
Yeah.
And so we worked together there, and then Pineapple Express, I think they called me in for. And while we were doing Pineapple Express, Jerry Minor was doing this part in Walk Hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got that Caveman sitcom. So he had to bow out. And then they were like,
Caveman
Craig, come do this part as, you know, Bobby Shad. And so I ended up, you know, playing that part and also doing Pineapple Express. But that was a side story. But yeah, we went and auditioned for Zack and Mir Make a Porno. And then for like, this is the end, they called us in, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's all we did. But yeah. Seth is.
Sausage Party.
Awesome. Yeah, they called me in for that.
Yeah.
That was dope. I was thinking about that movie. That movie is genius, man.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
Like just for the Twinkie character. It's genius.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, Seth is, he's such a great guy.
Great guy.
And amazingly like productive from such a young age, you know, like a prodigy pretty much.
Yeah, man. I think he was 13 when he started something.
Yeah.
Writing jokes. And that business model, man.
Oh yeah,
there's no stopping these guys.
No, I know. And to be that stoned all the time, that's the thing that blows my mind. I couldn't, you know,
still young.
I know, but I mean, I smoke weed. I can't even do the dishes. That guy's writing three movies at a time.
I enjoy it, but my tolerance is too high. I need to step away and come back, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see. What do you got going? You got Killing It.
Killing It, yes.
That's going
on
right now.
Peacock now. The second season came out in August. Uh-huh. But you can catch up. It's only 18 episodes. The first season, 10. Second season, 8. So
it's a half hour. It's a sitcom. Yeah. You can. I'm gonna burn through those because it looked like I say I knew of it and I'd heard of it, and then like in prepping for this, I watched like some scenes from some different episodes, and I'm like, shit, I gotta watch this thing. You know,
bro, it's so weird to see me on that show. Just
yeah.
You know, And meaning, it's like I'm dealing in the first, season, I'm dealing with snakes.
Yeah.
So it's not the first thing you think about, you know what I'm saying? So it's so weird and different and grounded and got edge and funny. And Claudia Daugherty is like my partner on there, you know?
So
that's my girl, man. She is
right.
Amazingly witty and funny and charming. And she knows. You know, she knows who she is. Well, like very aware of her presence. It's dope to work with and fun to watch.
Yeah. How do you like being number one on the call sheet? Because I mean, you know, like me, I've done that a couple of times, but not me. You know, usually I'm a character actor. You know,
it's fantastic. It's the best. But it's also like, you know, it's because I mean, I've seen, you know, on The Office, I was number 17.
Yeah, yeah.
But the people are still awesome. I don't get into the numbers thing.
Right. No, but I mean, because it's, you know, especially
it's
like,
so weird to be like, excuse me, you know, it's number one is talking. like I've never had that.
Oh, one. There's some fuckers that do that kind of thing, though, you know.
Check the call sheet, homie.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories from people that it's happened to of they run a scene and, you know, number four on the call sheet's got a couple of funny jokes that do well, and then they do a rewrite and come back, and all of a sudden, those jokes are number one's jokes, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you hear things happen, and then you're like, nah, that doesn't happen. But no, it does. It does. There's people that'll do that shit.
Shout out to John Cusack, who I love, and John is dope, but we were doing Hot Tub Time Machine, and I had a big, like, toast.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, John was saying my time. He was saying, I was like, I guess I'm okay. That's a cut. Oh, okay. All right. Have a good. He would take the and John he was open about like the jokes too. He's like, you guys are funny. Y'all are funny. Was so, you know, I'm gonna be leaning on you kind of thing.
Right. But, right.
Man, that blew my mind one day. I was like,
"What did he do? Did he just do it, or did he talk to somebody first? Or
no, he just did it, bro.
Wow,
it was total gangster.
You got to admire that part.
The man, though.
Well, how often are you touring with your band, The Nasty Delicious?
It varies from year to year. We didn't do a lot last year. We our next date is May 8th, at the Troubadour.
Okay,
so it's gonna be funky.
Yeah, I think I might come see that.
Come on down, bro.
Yeah.
I might have you come and do a song. What's your song? What's your go-to?
Oh my God. I don't know. Oh, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
It's not a lot of pressure. It's so much fun. Once you see my show, you're going to want to come on stage.
All right.
I want to be part of this.
Yeah. Oh, that would be, okay. Now that's all I'll think about until May. Just song selection. Yeah.
Just don't change it on the last day.
Bro. No, I won't.
Whatever you practice, just stick to your guns.
Well, I'm thinking.
I just get a Christmas song. I was out late last night. I was on stage with Chappelle.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to be in bed, but then Chappelle, we got on stage and it was 3 hours later. So I didn't get to bed till like two or something. And I had to get up and do all the stuff. But I can't. And I was going to change the key at the last minute so I could sing Lord. And I had to try to hit these high notes when I sang Silent Night. But, it, you know, at the last minute, I said, Craig, play in the key you practice. Let's not get on television and just start. Oops, wait, can we go?
Hold on a minute.
No, this is live. What?
Oops. Well, let me get some of the other things, some of these other things out. The Ark and the Aardvark, that's coming out in April.
Oh,
that's
an
animated show. You're voicing a character in Saving Bikini Bottom, the Sandy Cheeks movie, SpongeBob yes. World. That's pretty fucking sweet. That's got to be great.
I'm Sandy's father.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
We're a big family of squirrels, you know, circus act squirrels. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then you're in the upcoming movie My Spy, The Eternal City with Dave Bautista, Anna Faris, and Kristen Schaal. Ooh,
yeah.
That's nice. Is that shot?
Yeah. Matter of fact, that was one of the funniest movies I've done. The thing, they brought me to South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow.
I've never been to Africa. So I've been to Africa and to Rome. And Rome is just, woo.
Yeah.
Breathtaking with the statues and the art and the art.
You're like, okay, yeah, this is, you get, you know.
It's well,
you,
so
and you got
detailed.
To, and it, you got to know your Bible stories or else you're not going to get anything that's going on in the museums, any of the artwork there. It's like, you got to know your Bible stuff.
Exactly. Cause
it's all Bible stuff. Well, is there something you've left undone? I mean, is there stuff you know, what are you heading towards? Just kind of more of the same? Is there, and it doesn't even have to be show business stuff. Like, you know, you're going to buy a football team or something.
It have to be a very small football team.
Yeah, only three guys.
Three guys. And you know, you're not working for money, right? There's some things that I think about, but you know, I gotta hold stuff close to the chest, man.
Yeah, all right.
And one day just pop out, you know, ba ba.
Yeah, I understand.
Ha ha.
Well, are there
some stuff, some music stuff coming with the band and stuff?
All right. Are there changes? I mean, are there any just kind of changes that you'd like? Do you plan on staying in L.A.? Do you ever, you know, are there any kind of, I don't know.
I have a house here. Now,
yeah.
My first house. So, you know, seeing how that goes for a while. And,
is that new?
It's, I got it in 2020.
It's nice, isn't it? Owning a house.
It is nice. First time I had COVID, I was in an apartment. And then when the pandemic hit, I ended up getting, and I thought that when I was in an apartment, I was like, I don't want to die in this apartment. I don't want to die.
Well, that must have been early too then.
Yeah.
On in COVID. Yeah.
So then the pandemic hit and I ended up getting a house and I got COVID there. Yeah. That was my second one. And I was like, well, at least I could die in the house.
Yeah, they won't be hauling my ass into an elevator. Well, what's the main lesson you think you've learned out of your sort of travels through show business from Chicago to LA to a podcast on a Monday afternoon?
Be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, being genuine goes a long way. But be yourself because you're the only you we got.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Unless you're an asshole.
Unless you're an asshole.
Yeah. If you're an asshole, then fix that.
But do you know you're an asshole? Our asshole's like, that was an asshole thing I did.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, I have known some assholes that are like unapologetic assholes. And sometimes that shit is magical. Like, you're just like, wow, that guy is a prick and he doesn't care. And there's something like, there's no evasiveness. No, there's no hiding behind a mask. It's just straight up, hey, I'm going to take that. All right.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. Well, Craig, thank you so much for taking the time. And everybody, check out Killing It on Peacock. you know, you're a funny man, so it's got to be a funny show.
Hey, you're welcome, brother. Thank you, man. This is
alrighty.
It's been a pleasure. I don't like doing podcasts because it's out there forever, and then I just get to talking. But I think we did all right.
You got off clean here.
I've called up a couple of podcasts, but can you take that out, please? Remember when I said the thing about the thing?
Yeah. No, we get that. That's Sean's job. Sean's the one that's got to deal with that stuff when somebody's like, I think I shouldn't have said that. I'm like, yeah, well, okay, whatever.
It's out there now, Holmes.
Yeah, good to see you, Craig. And thank all of you out there for tuning in, and I'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
The Three Questions with Andy Richter is a Team Coco production. It is produced by Sean Daugherty and engineered by Rich Garcia. Additional engineering support by Eduardo Perez and Joanna Samuel. Executive produced by Nick Liao, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, with assistance from Maddie Ogden. Research by Alyssa Grawl. Don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to The Three Questions with Andy Richter wherever you get your podcasts. And do you have a favorite question you always like to ask people? Let us know in the review section.
Can't you tell my love's growing? Can't you feel it? Ain't it showing? Oh, you must be a-knowing. I've got a big, big love.
This has been a Team Coco production.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.